Let's get started with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time to come and open your word. I pray that you would feed us through the word that you have given. Pray that you would show us more of Christ and who he is, and that we would be encouraged and edified and challenged. I pray that you would be with me to only speak the things that are of you. Lord, let it all be of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Alright, so today's topic is Christ as Shepherd. And so this theme of shepherd and sheep is seen a lot throughout Scripture. There's a lot of different passages that has this terminology. So we're going to dive into what is God teaching us through this parallelism that's in Scripture of this analogy of shepherd and sheep. So to start off, I want to take a step back in looking at, in Israel's history, looking particularly at Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34 and the shepherds that are described there. And so for a little bit of context in Ezekiel, Ezekiel is a prophet to the people of Israel who are taken into captivity in Babylon. And Ezekiel's job was to bring the word of the Lord of judgment against the people of Israel. So if God decreed judgment on the people of Israel, Ezekiel was obligated to go and tell Israel, this is the judgment that God has decreed, repent, right? Turn away. So in Ezekiel 34, we see here judgment decreed against the shepherds of Israel. So in Ezekiel 34, it says, verse 1, "The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with none to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely, because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hands and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them." We'll stop there for now. We'll continue on in a little bit. So that's a very scathing passage of Scripture right there. Just God's fierce anger against the shepherds of the people of Israel who were only in it for what they could gain. They were killing the fat lambs, the fat sheep, and eating them. They were not shepherding the sheep of Israel. It was, what could I get out of this job? Right? They feed themselves. They eat the fat of the sheep. They clothe themselves with the wool of the sheep. They slaughter the fat sheep. They rule over the sheep with force and harshness. The one common denominator there is self. What can the shepherds get for themselves? They're not interested in the care and the needs of the sheep. They were interested in their own pleasure. And God is very, very harsh against these shepherds. Very harsh.
Brother, I'm sorry. Where are you at?
Ezekiel 34.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Here are some of the things that the shepherds in Ezekiel 34 neglected. They did not feed the sheep. They did not strengthen the weak sheep. They did not heal the sick sheep. They did not bind up the injured sheep. They did not bring back the sheep that strayed. They did not seek after the lost sheep. So I want to take a little bit of time to go into who are these shepherds. So these were leaders of Israel who were appointed to care for the people of God. And they were to teach the Word of God and to feed them with spiritual food. We see in the rebellion of Israel, they're going against the decrees of God, the law of God, and they're wandering after the gods of the lands. And that's why God's judging them and taking them into captivity. But He's also addressing the shepherds in that you did not defend the sheep, you did not speak out to bring those sheep back from their wanderings. You were not feeding them the Word of God like you should have. So, just a few other places in Scripture where God addresses a particular group of people as shepherds. Jeremiah 2 verse 8. The priests say, "Where is the Lord? Those who handle the law did not know me. The shepherds transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and went after things that do not profit." The shepherds transgressed against me. He's talking about those who handle the law, right? Those who are supposed to be teachers, the priests. And he's talking about these shepherds and how they've transgressed against me. So we see this terminology of shepherd being used in a context of priests, of those who are supposed to teach the law in Jeremiah 2 verse 8. And then a positive explanation of what a shepherd is to look like is in Jeremiah 3 verse 15. And this is a promise that God has given to Israel. And it says, "And I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding." Right? So the shepherd's job is to feed the people of God with knowledge, the Word of God, the law of God, and understanding.
And
2 Samuel 7, verses 5 through 7. God describes judges as shepherds. 2 Samuel 7, starting in verse 5. "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. In all places where I have moved with the people of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar?" So the judges, God describes here as shepherds of the people of Israel. What is the function of a judge? Right? They were appointed in Israel. You had this sequence in the book of Judges where the people of God rebel against God, go in the ways of the land. They fall into captivity because of the judgment of God. They cry out to God. God raises up a judge to deliver them. And then he's there to give the law of God to have judgment in hard cases so that the people of Israel can come with disputes and they can settle the matters, right? So they were to give direction to the people of Israel in the way that they should go, to keep them from straying into the ways of the Canaanites in the land in which they lived. And we see what happens when the people of Israel did not have shepherds. We see a lot of times throughout Judges that the people did what was right in their own eyes. And we just see them, they're just trying to go with it as they feel. Like they don't have that leadership. Whatever seems right to them, they do. Right? Shepherds are there to say, no, this is what God says to do. Do this. We're in a land that is completely shepherdless, where we just do whatever is right. The society does whatever is right in their own eyes. And we see it. It's just everyone's wandering about aimlessly, not in obedience to God, because they're not submitted to the shepherd, Jesus Christ. The king is also described as the shepherd. That's in 2 Samuel 5, verses 1 through 2. David is described as a shepherd. So the roles of the shepherd are to feed the sheep. They're to keep the sheep from wandering. To protect the sheep from becoming prey to the wild beasts. From going after the Canaanites. Right? They have the intermarriages going on, where you have them, the wolves of the Canaanites coming in and intermarrying with the people of God and causing them to transgress. And the shepherds are to say, don't do that. Turn away from that. They're to heal the injured. They're to care for the sick sheep. And they're to strengthen the weak sheep. So turning back to Ezekiel chapter 34. So we see that the shepherd's lack of, in Ezekiel, the failure of the people, of the shepherds that God had appointed, the failure for them to lead the people of God, resulted in the sheep being scattered, and the sheep becoming food for the wild beasts. One important point in this text is, to whom does the sheep belong? My sheep, says the Lord. This is my sheep. That God has entrusted men in the position of shepherds over His sheep. They're not their own sheep. It'd be bad enough if they were treating their own sheep like they are here. But not only that, but they're treating the sheep of another. Not even their own sheep. They're treating them in such a wicked manner. And we see the zeal of the Lord for His sheep, His care. He abhors what is going on here. This is the action of God because of the shepherd's conduct. It says God is against the shepherds. And if God is against someone, that's not a good thing. The God of all creation being opposed to anyone here is a fearful thing. And anyone who's outside of Christ is in opposition to God. And the wrath of God is upon you. But if you repent, there's forgiveness of sins, and there is peace with God, and there is this great shepherd who cares tenderly for His sheep. It's a really a fearful thing in the role of a shepherd, realizing the role that God has entrusted a shepherd with. God, in the New Testament, we see the office of pastor being described as a shepherd, right? The office of a shepherd is a very weighty matter, in that God cares very deeply for His sheep. And some of the terminology that is used in this passage is, he could have said, God could have spoke against the shepherds with about maybe 2/3 of the words that he used here. But he used many intentional words to amplify and intensify his judgment against them. As I live, declares the Lord. It's so certain that he's making a promise that, as certain as it is that I live, which is guaranteed, this is a certain fact. He's not budging on this. He says, surely, because my sheep have become a prey, he lays out the charge against them. Because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep, therefore you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Listen up. I'm talking to you. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths that they may no longer be food for them. He's going to do this. He's going to act himself in rescuing his sheep. Continue on in verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself. He could have just said, behold, I will search for my sheep. But no, he said, behold, I myself. He's emphasizing the fact that he's going to do this himself. I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. They shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. Sounds a lot like Psalm 23. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. God is going to do this himself. He's going to do what the shepherds fail to do. He's going to be a good shepherd, a righteous shepherd, who cares for his sheep, who is looking out for their interests, who is going to seek after those who are lost, for those who are straying, and bring them back, because he cares for them. They're his sheep. He says to the shepherds that in verse 10, he says, I will require my sheep at their hands. That God is going to require every one of his sheep, every single one of them, from their hands. They are his, and his shepherds are accountable for every single last sheep that he has entrusted to them. He's going to rescue his sheep from the shepherds, who are supposed to be the ones caring for him. He's going to rescue them from them because they're the ones that are slaughtering the fat sheep, taking them for themselves, and feeding, instead of feeding them, they're feeding themselves. And we have a lot of so-called pastors today that all they're doing is feeding themselves and their big system and their big name. They're not interested in the care and the needs of the flock. They're interested in what is going to get me my following, my large building, my fame, my radio show. And it doesn't, they don't care the fact that they're feeding these sheep poison. They're saying, be warm and be filled, have a wonderful life, and they're on their way to eternity and destruction and hell. They don't care for the eternal needs of the sheep. They care for themselves. In Ezekiel 34, starting in verse 17, we have a promise of the shepherd to come. He says, "As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture? And to drink of clear water, that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet, and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns, till you have scattered them abroad. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken." So we have here this promise of the shepherd David to come to be God's shepherd and shepherd the people of Israel. So, let's look at the context into which the chief shepherd came. The context in which the chief shepherd came, Jesus Christ being the chief shepherd, that God, the David, who was promised in Ezekiel, is Jesus Christ, the shepherd that God has appointed over the people of God to be their shepherd and to lead them. So we see here that not a lot has changed in Ezekiel, from Ezekiel to the time of Christ, in the sense of the fact that the shepherds, that Israel is like a sheep without shepherds and just wandering because of the failure of the shepherds to properly lead the people of God. In Matthew 9, verses 35 through 36. It says, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." So this is a description of Jesus looking at the crowds and seeing them and describing them as sheep without a shepherd. Wandering about, looking, they're flocking to him because here's the one shepherd and they've been scattered and the chief shepherd comes and they are coming to hear him, to hear his words. He continues on in this passage to tell his disciples to pray that the Lord would send more laborers into his field. He wants to gather in his sheep. He then sends out his disciples to proclaim the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 10, verses 5 through 7, same context, he's looking out, seeing the wandering of the sheep. And then he says, "Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send in shepherds." And then he sends them out to the villages. In Matthew 10, 5 through 7, these 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So we see in a fulfillment of Ezekiel in that God is sending His servant David to seek out the lost shepherd, the lost sheep of Israel, who were scattered. in Mark 6, verses 32-34, we see another instance where the people are described as sheep without a shepherd. It says, "And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. He went ashore and he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things." And you see just the people coming to hear the words of Jesus. The Pharisees, who are supposed to be the ones shepherding the people in the ways of God, you see where the people marvel at the teaching of Jesus because he speaks as one with authority, not like the scribes and the Pharisees. There's a difference in what is being fed by the chief shepherd and what is being fed by the shepherds of the Pharisees and the scribes. And notice the Pharisees and the scribes, what were they doing? They were in it for what they could gain. The praise and the applaud of men. That's what they were in it for. They weren't in it to care for the weak, the shepherds, the people of Israel. They were in it for how can I advance my ego and my my desires as this leader of the people of God, and they were only in it for what they got out of it. That's why they were in it. Luke 15, verses 1 through 7. "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." So we see these tax collectors, these sinners that Jesus is seeking to proclaim the good news, to call them to repentance, and to restore them as his sheep. But the Pharisees, they don't want to help the weak. They don't want to help those who are injured or straying. They're only interested in what they can gain. So they grumble against, "Oh, why would you hang out with those filthy sinners?" Because God cares for his sheep. He desires that they would be saved, that they would turn from their sin and repent. So this is the context into which the chief shepherd came. In a context in which there were shepherds, but it was as if there were none because they were not feeding the sheep. They were only feeding themselves, the Pharisees. So now we're going to look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber." So in context, we have Jesus speaking to, there's Pharisees, there's the Jews in this context, And we have, in the immediate context, we have the man who was born blind, healed, cast out of the synagogue, because the Pharisees are too prideful. You're born in your sin, and are you teaching us? And they cast them out. They were self-righteous. And this poor blind sinner that's been now can see, hears the voice of his shepherd, Jesus, who comes to him and saying, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he says, "Who is he that I should believe in him?" He says, "I am he. It is he who is speaking to you." And he believes. The shepherd, the sheep, hears the voice of the shepherd, and he responds in faith. So he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." So I want to look here at the perfect shepherd that is described in this passage. Jesus Christ, the one that was foretold, the David to come, who has come to shepherd his people. First, I want to look at the character of the sheep. The character of a sheep, the main character being that they hear the shepherd's voice and they follow. They are familiar with his voice. They follow the shepherd's leading because they know that he is their shepherd and they are his. In the time of Jesus, they literally heard the voice of Jesus, their shepherd, and they responded, right? You have the disciples. You have Peter and Andrew. He calls out, "Come, follow me," right? And his sheep hear his voice, and they immediately left all that they have and come follow him. One of the characteristics of a sheep is that a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And we see how, here's another example is Paul, right? Paul is in his sin. He is opposed to the chief shepherd, but when his chief shepherd calls him, as he's going, breathing threats against the Jews, against the Christians, and going out to seek them to kill them, Jesus comes and appears to him and says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he calls him and appoints him for his service. And Paul heard the voice of his shepherd, and he followed him. And from that moment, he never again followed the voices of the Pharisees. He turned away from listening to their voices and only listened to the voice of the chief shepherd and followed in his ways. He was not wandering back to the ways of the Pharisees, but was continuing on following the good shepherd. We have the disciples of Jesus. They left all that they had to follow Jesus, to follow their shepherd. And when it came time for the false shepherds of Israel, who were saying, turn away from proclaiming Christ, be quiet about it. So they were told to follow a different voice, right? The voice of a stranger that said, we must preach the gospel, right? We're all, you know, is it better for us to obey God or man? We must obey God. We're not going to follow the voice of a man who is telling us to go against our chief shepherd. Now we have the Word of God. Jesus is the Word incarnate. Right? And we have the Word of God with us. And the chief shepherd calls his people through the proclamation of the Word of God. And those who are his respond and are saved. And then I want to look at the character of the shepherd. So we've looked at the character of the sheep, that they follow the shepherd, that they don't listen to the voice of strangers. And then we have the character of the shepherd. You know, one thing about the listening to the voice of strangers, you have these false teachers that creep in. They disguise themselves as angels of light. They disguise themselves in the truth with some falsehood in order to lead the people of God astray. So they tune their voice to sound like the chief shepherd in order to carve off the sheep in following after their own ways. But the Lord is gracious to call back His sheep from wandering to follow Him again. So the character of the shepherd. In verse 3, we see that Christ knows His sheep. It says in verse 3, the sheep hear His voice, and He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. This is a tender shepherd that we have, who calls us out by name to come follow Him. Yes. Oh, sorry, John 10. John chapter 10. Yeah. Yep. No worries. Christ leads His sheep. That's the second characteristic, is He leads His sheep. Again, in verse 3, to Him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear His voice, and He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. And this is, there's contrast here with what's described in Ezekiel with the shepherds of Israel, how they ruled over the sheep with force and harshness. Right? That was one thing that God spoke out against them for, was them ruling against the sheep with force and harshness. And here we see the good shepherd leading his flock. See that in Psalm 23. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. In verse 9, we see that Christ gives salvation to His sheep. In verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. That's a promise. That if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, who laid down His life for the sheep, who took upon Himself the wrath of God for sin on behalf of us sinners. Turning away, repenting of your sin, going after Christ, believing in Him, there is a promise, a certainty that you will be saved. So he's the means by which salvation is through. You have to enter through the door for salvation. There's no other way. Salvation is through Jesus Christ alone. He gives them salvation, and he also gives them pasture. They go in and out and find pasture. And notice what precedes the coming in and out and finding pasture is entering through the door to be saved. One must be saved in order to enjoy the good pastures of the Word of God, righteousness, truth, and the blessings that come for the believer. That's through entering the door. Through the door of salvation, through Jesus Christ, there is salvation, and we go in and out and find pasture through the Word of God. God feeds His people through the Word of God. In righteousness, in holiness, to be a people set apart, pure. A healthy, fat sheep is a sheep who is holy, who is not defiled in the sin and the filth of the world. So, feeding on the Word of God and letting that transform your life brings life and health to the sheep and the people of God. We see that Christ gives life to His sheep. In verse 10, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is why Christ came. So that His sheep can have life. But He doesn't stop there. He doesn't say that they can have life. He says that they can have it abundantly. It's not that, yeah, you'll live, you'll be scrawny, you'll be hungry, but you'll make it to the end, you'll live. No, that they may have life, abundant life. Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 20. "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regards to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Christ gives His sheep life by setting them free from the bondage and shackles of their sin. To be now in slavery to Christ, to be obedient to His will, to walk in righteousness which leads to eternal life. Slavery of sin leads to death and destruction. It promises life, right? I was driving here, there was a sign for a casino. Good times is what it says. Good times. The end of it is death. It promises life, and its goal is to destroy. There are many false teachers that creep in saying, I have life, I have the words of life, follow me. Judaizers and the Galatians, they're saying, oh, I have the way to be saved. Yes, believe in Jesus Christ, but be circumcised, keep the law to be saved. And that way was actually the way to death. Those were false shepherds. Those were thieves and robbers who were breaking in to steal, kill, and destroy. When we deviate from the Word of God and what it says in order to appease someone else, we are deviating from the words of life and giving them falsehood, death. And that's a scary thing. That should bring fear in my heart, especially, and as I teach, in that it's so easy for me to fear man and what they're going to think instead of fearing the Lord. That I'm going to stand before the chief shepherd one day and give an account for every word that is spoken. And I'm way too fearful about what other people might say instead of being true to the Word of God and faithful. And I think that that's a tendency in which we all have as well, in which we need to be very guarded against. Whether it's evangelism, you're out talking to someone about, maybe it's a homosexual and you're trying to skirt around the sin of homosexuality. You're kind of dancing around it because you're not wanting to offend them. Now, you need to have love and graciousness and wisdom, but you need to also speak the truth. Don't compromise the truth in order to have the approval of your audience. Because that is something that leads to death. Truth is what leads to life. We also see, going back to John chapter 10, we see that Christ protects His sheep. In John chapter 10, starting in verse 10, going through verse 15. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The depths of the love of God for His sheep, that He lays down His life for His sheep. Unlike the hireling, who's just being paid to watch the sheep, when he sees that wolf comes, he's like, I'm out of here. I'm not going to protect my sheep. They're just sheep. They're not my sheep. I'm being paid to do this. I'm out of here. But when the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, when there's the wolf, He lays down His life, His very life, to protect His sheep. That's what He did for us. That we were bound in our slavery to sin, and Christ laid down His life for us, to deliver us from death, to set us free, to walk in green pastures. Our ability to graze in the pastures of the Word of God and to have eternal life and abundant life was bought by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our chief shepherd. We see also the intimacy of the knowledge of Jesus for His sheep. In verse 14 through 15. In verse 14, says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." So he says, I know my own. So first he doesn't say, I know my sheep, I know my own. It's more intimate. They're mine. I know my own. And my own know me. It's mutual. And he elevates the degree of this, what type of knowledge this is. It's not like, oh, I know, I know something exists. I know that the earth is round. That's a knowledge, a head knowledge, right? Of a fact. But we see here that he gives a comparison for help for us to understand this type of knowledge that he has for his own. He says, "Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." That's this intimacy of knowledge that Jesus has with you, if you are his sheep. That he knows your weaknesses. He knows your frailty. He cares for you. This is the chief shepherd who has an intimate knowledge of our sheep, of his sheep. And his sheep know him. He's revealed himself to his sheep so that we can know his character, his kindness. He's revealing himself to us in this passage right now. Putting on display his tenderness, his kindness, that we might know him. And then, lastly, I want to look at how Christ preserves his sheep. And that's in John 10, verses 24 through 30. John 10, verses 24 through 30. "So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, 'How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly.' Jesus answered them, 'I told you, and you did not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and none is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one.'" He preserves his sheep. This is a great comfort to us, that the preserving of his sheep rests in the hands of the chief shepherd, Jesus, and his Father. Because who is stronger than the Father? No one. So if the chief shepherd has the sheep and no one is able to snatch them out of his hand, that is comfort. Because there are so many things in society that seem like they are able to snatch us out of the hand of God. Well, certainly God can't protect us against this. But no, God preserves his sheep to the very end. Those who are truly his sheep will make it to the end. He will seek out those who are wandering. He will discipline those whom he loves to bring them back to repentance. You see, the care and the shepherding hand of the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, in the book of Revelation, in the letters to the churches. You are straying. You are wandering, but I care for you. Repent, lest I come and remove your lampstand. He desires for his sheep he will ensure through his loving hand of discipline that his sheep make it to the end. And that's dependent upon the character of God, not upon the character of anyone else. Because of who God is, He is able. In fact, it says later on in John, of all that you've given me, Jesus says to the Father, of all that you've given me, I have not lost one, except for the son of perdition. That was foretold anyways, that he was not truly a sheep. But all of those whom the Father gave to him, he did not lose one of them. And that should encourage us to get back up when we have sinned, to go to the shepherd, repenting, and continue on, to persevere. Because we have a tender shepherd who binds up the injured, who cares for the weak. It says, talks about in Isaiah prophesying of the one to come, that a bruised reed he will not break. You see the tenderness of Christ in that imagery. A bruised reed he will not break. We see elsewhere in Scripture in how we're supposed to deal with different people. We have the person who's lazy, is a stronger rebuke to bring them out of that. But we have the weak who we're supposed to encourage the faint-hearted. And so there's God cares for His sheep individually in how they are how they need. If it's a weak sheep, He's tender with them. If it's a sheep that's rebelling and going astray, He's going to use the rod. He knows the needs of His sheep, and He's bringing them to find pasture. One of the means by which God has given for us to be fed is through the under-shepherds that Jesus Christ has appointed. Pastor Phil. He is an under-shepherd that God has appointed over this flock to shepherd the people. And He's accountable for us. We ought to be seeking to put ourselves under the submission of Pastor Phil in that he is seeking to shepherd us in the ways of righteousness. He's opening up the Scripture to feed us the Word of God, to guide us. And we need that. And if you're neglecting the gathering of the saints, you're neglecting the food that God is setting forth before you. So don't do that. This is critical. The fellowship, the gathering of the people of God is essential. It's a means by which the chief shepherd gives us pasture and feed. And we also look forward to the appearance of the chief shepherd. That He is going to come again. We get to dwell in a pasture free from wolves and everything. Sin done away with. Dwelling with our chief shepherd for eternity. Enjoying His presence. Being with Him. With that hope, let's close. Heavenly Father, thank You for the kindness of Jesus Christ, the gentleness of Jesus Christ. Let us praise You. Let us feed on Your Word. I pray that You would be gracious to preserve every one of us to the end. For those who are outside of Jesus Christ, I pray that You would bring them into Your fold. That they would repent, turn from their sins, and be saved. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.